Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night, T. We got a good show tonight. We've got a couple buddies of mine that's been tearing up the trail lately. First of all, we got Barry Johnson from Swig and Pig going to be calling in here shortly. And I just want to reiterate to these guys that I'm having some technical difficulties with the computer tonight. So if they would just hang on, I will get them on. But first of all, I want to congratulate Barry for ran the big one in Alabama this past weekend. Of course, he was cooking on Southern Q Smokers, one of my sponsors. And also to Damon Woolley from Woolley Bully Barbecue Mafia, took the big event in Palestine, Georgia, Smoke on the Water, a big FBA event, and did very well there. Very happy for both of them. And like I said, congrats to both of those guys. Several other teams have done very well. Rod Gray with Pellet Envy took a reserve grand, and I want to give a shout-out to Brad Case and Lane Smokers for getting third place. I want to thank our sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal. Couldn't do it without you, buddy. We've got Southern Q Smokers. We've got Butcher Barbecue with Dave Bosco on there. We've got Big Daddy's Bar and Grill. We've got Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills and Phoenix Printing. We'd like to thank all of them for coming on board and helping us do what we like to do. We could compete. And if it'll work, my first guest would be Barry Johnson. I believe he's online. Barry, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Barry, good. I've been having some technical difficulties with my computer tonight, so I'm having to switch back and forth. So how you doing, man?
Man, I am great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm getting ready to get out on the trail this next week, and I'm going to be heading up to Kings Mountain to compete against Dan Hickson, of course, and the two of them in a grill and picking porkers and smoke this, chuck a pig. Oh, I'm doing great.
Well, you know, it's nothing like another Southern All-Star Barbecue Showdown, is it? You know?
That's, if you do good there, it's legit.
That's it.
So you had some pretty stiff competition where you're at. You're in Gadsden, Alabama?
We were in Gadsden, Alabama this weekend. Great weekend.
I was catering for the Masters this whole past week, so I got to get back on the barbecue trail to take a vacation, I guess. I don't know. But
that's not a bad gig either. The Masters is not a bad deal either. So.
Nah, we came out pretty good. We had some folks that came in from New York and Boston and all over the place. We just catered to them and take them to them from the Masters. And I was kind of the guys from New York, you know, they worked for MLB.com, and they were kind of laughing because I see the officers that direct traffic up there barbecue. And so I can park anywhere I want to. I get through when other people can't. They move cones for me. So it's really really fun. He said, you know, he said, Jizz Barbecue really is money.
There you go.
So I said, hey, whatever works, you know, I know how to get to them. But, yeah, we got a great group of guys up there at the Masters that they really take care of us. So we're it's great to have them up there. So is this – now, you've been tearing up the trail pretty much lately with your new smoker. Let's talk a little bit about it.
Well, it's kind of smoker 3.0, I guess. This is the third one that we've had, and Scott's been doing a great job. I'm sure he's tired of me picking about little things, and I hope he's listening. But you know, he's done everything in the world that I could ever want him to do, and. Now we're just down to nitpicking, and I'm afraid I'm about to wear out my look. You know, I think the win this weekend that absolutely helps that cause. So, but maybe I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever it is, it works for you. Now he's been tweaking these things. I mean, he takes this pretty serious, and I know we work for kind of work on the same thing, but. You know, Scott and Tim, they kind of take our suggestions in stride. You know, they're not closed-minded. They look and try to build the best smoker, even for the individual. You know, if there's some little extra accessories or something you want on it. But, you know, I've won a grand and several seconds and thirds, and it's a very consistent cooker. And, you know, they build a really good quality product. I've enjoyed mine.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this today. We've got... With a brand new smoker change the first of the year, we've got five contests under our belt using three different smokers, and we have three top fives out of that, including the grand. So he's definitely building a good product, or I'm starting to figure it out, or a combination of both, maybe. I don't know. And I know that I've been everybody's ear in the world trying to figure out, you know, just basically kick the learning curve. Just,
right.
And not for recipes or things like that. Just basically just how the cookers work. And it's helped a lot. You've helped me a lot. And you know, anybody that'll answer a question, I was bending Mike and Don, team insert here, down there in Louisiana, and got caught doing it. And another guy said, I can't believe you're going to help him do that. He don't need any help. But, anyway, I've been everybody's here on these gravity cookers to figure out a little bit of timing and a little bit of amount of wood to use, things like that. And everybody's been very gracious on helping me. I'm probably not out of the water contest,
but one
that may not be as gracious
to him. Well, like I said, there's a learning curve when you move over these things from what other people are using. And it just shows right there with the way I've been doing on mine and you've been doing on yours and a few other teams. I mean, there's definitely a good consistency to the cooks. And that's the name of the game in this, is just, you know, cook consistently day in and day out. Even your meat's coming off consistently. So, you know, there's always learning the curve, learning your pits, where, you know, warm spots are and cold spots, and, you know, just the right place where you want to place your meat that fits your timelines and stuff. So, I mean, like I said, I've been very pleased with my smokers, and, you know, I'm not going to make a change. I mean, I know there's several others that are just as good and some that may be better. But for me, you know, I'm doing what works for me, and
I cannot imagine a better person in the world to be working with than Scott Smith, because he's done everything that I've asked of him and more, and you know, I've tried to make sense, and you just have no idea how grateful I am for him listening to me complain about stuff that really don't make any difference, you know, in the long run. So,
Well, like I said, the good thing is you know, he's willing to customize it to what your needs are. What you may want might be what somebody else doesn't. But you know, for him to take the time and the care to you know, go through everything with you, and you know, and like I said, tweak the smoker, because real general, I guess the chamber really hasn't changed a whole lot. It might just be a few things, but you know, where he tweaked it, but. Like I said, I've been very pleased. We've been getting really good, consistent cooks off it. And, you know, we'll find out here when we start our full meat contest and go from there. I mean, we, like I said, we're glad he's on board with us. And, we, like you said, you can't find a better person to work with on these things.
Well, I've been extremely happy. And I didn't know, of course, you go into anything with some trepidation about, well, is it going to be as good? Is it going to be, you're going to be better? What's it going to be? And you know, through you know, 6 or 7 weeks that I've actually had a cooker in hand, then, you know, I just couldn't ask for anything better. So.
Well, it just shows you the consistency. You've had 3 different cookers, and you've done that well. And, you know, I've sold cookers last year and turned right around and won $1,000 with the one that has either had for a while or a brand new one. So, you know, I've won on a brand new one. I've won on an old one, you know, almost back to back. You know, it just shows you, you know, once you learn to cooker, I mean, it's really a no-brainer.
Well, and it also says something about the way they're being built, too, that they're all going to be very, very close to being alike.
Right. I mean, it's not one of the things you want to keep switching out of everything. I'm not, and I stress this to everybody, new, old, or whatever. You know, when you keep changing pits, you're actually changing your flavor profile and all this other stuff. So my suggestion is find something that you're comfortable with, cook on it for a little while. If it doesn't work for you, then make a change. But don't have, like, 2 bad cooks and think it's a smoker and just get a whole new smoker. It's not going to work. So, you know, you need to find something that in your mind is a consistent cooker to start with and has, you know, really good quality, because you're going to spend your time and money out there every weekend. And, you know, I mean, these things are not frightfully expensive compared to others. But, you know, you got to have some good quality equipment to work with to be consistently up there in the top. Of course, good flavor profiles helps too. But you know, you've taken yours down to Florida and, Louisiana and now Alabama.
That's right. Yeah, we've already been in 3 states, and the circus is going to stay in Tennessee this weekend. So
it's just not a one state thing. It's a really good southeastern so far, southeastern style thing. And I know you you're fixing to start a busy barbecue season. Am I right?
Oh man, we'll be in, you know, between now and December, we'll be in Alabama 3 more times, and we're going to try to get to Georgia a little bit. And of course, we'll do whatever's going on in Tennessee 5 or 6 times. And, you know, hopefully we'll be in Bentonville, Arkansas, which we've got luck. We've already qualified for the Royal, so we'll, you know, be making the trip to the American Royal again.
That's good. I'm sure Scott would like to see one of his smokers up there. I don't know if Scott said we're cooking or not. He was talking about going and cooking at one time. And, you know, we got our invite to the American Royale, and we're still debating on that one. That one's, we got time on that to think about it.
Well, you know, my suggestion is you go at least once if you've never been.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, everybody I've talked to said, you know, some people say, well, you know, I won't go back, but I went once, and I would highly recommend going at least once. Other people are like, you know, I'm going to go every year I can, because, I mean, that's, you know, that's one of those cooks that they said they just really loved. And
well, you know, and I guess for us, because we've had some success nationally, we've gotten to know a lot of people nationwide that we don't get to see outside of the Royal or outside of the banquet, or you know, they're not coming down and competing against us, and we're not going to them and competing against them, you know, but we've made friends. So that, I think that's one of the things that makes the Royal special, is you get to see people that you know that you don't otherwise get to see, and I think that's why I like going. You know, among other things, and knock out two contests in 2 days, and so that's always fun. It's just a great time.
Well, you know, that's another important thing you brought up, as, you know, a lot of people do certain contests just see some friends of theirs that they've met out on the tour and competed against and stuff. And, you know, we go up to North Carolina, and we get, of course, my next tour in North Carolina, but, you know, we didn't really get to see any of those guys since, you know, beginning of November. So, you know, we're kind of looking forward to going up and seeing those guys and come back to Georgia, see all our Georgia buddies and stuff. And we got a couple in Carolina. We'll see them guys and then back up in North Carolina and, you know, just all over. So, you know, we'll see some guys from FBA, like Damon Lewis, coming on here in a little bit. You know, he blends over in the KCBS along with Rub and a few others. So you get a good mix. We, you know, like I said, we get to be friends. You can Facebook them, you text them or whatever, but it's nothing like just sitting around a fire or something with a cold beverage and sitting there BSing with them on either Thursday, Friday, or even Saturday night.
Yeah.
So when's your next contest? This weekend?
This weekend.
Where are you going to be heading to?
Getting a few errands run and today. And we'll be in Winchester Thursday afternoon.
So. Is that in Tennessee or?
It is in Tennessee.
Okay.
Southern Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
So we'll get, we'll get another dose of Diggy Piggy and the Wild Bunch Bunch Burners and Warren County Pork Choppers and the Moon Swiners. South Pork will be there.
We don't get to see Suzanne and Scott a whole lot, but when we do, they're a fun crowd, especially Suzanne. She's just out there. But she's a lot of fun to be around. And Donnie, you know, does he always bring his pig to all the contests? Or?
Maybe half the time I see that thing out. My daughter loves it. So every time she's around, we kind of hope with. Gracie is the pig's name, so I've been around it enough to know what his name is, so
It got loose on him up there in Hendersonville last year, and I caught the tail end of it, but the pig was over there underneath. I don't know if it was a cooktop or a smoker or what over there at a pack of smokes, and Donnie was up underneath the table trying to get it. And he just kept moving away a little bit. And I told Donnie, I said, now I know how you win all these. He goes, how's that? I said, you get the freshest pork possible. He goes, no, I can't eat this one. He said, they just soon put me on there as I do this one.
He's made the statement several times to me. He said, as long as I've got a roof over my head, that pig's got a roof over it.
That's it.
he loves that pig.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's funny, though, because, like I said, the first time I seen him have it up there, and they were doing something to him in the trailer, making him squeal and stuff. I don't know what they were doing, but they had it going. But Donnie's a class act. He's a really good guy and, you know, a very tough competitor, as you know, because you go head-to-head with him a lot more than I do. But that's another boy that's just consistent, you know. He'll get a couple calls here and there, and the next thing you know, he's up there at Graham. So, but hopefully, you know, with these new smokers that we're toting around, we've done pretty well this year with them. I mean, there's been several Grahams between the teams that have them, several top 10 finishes on top of that. So it just shows, you know, quality of these smokers. What kind of charcoal do you use in yours?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I missed that.
What kind of charcoal do you use in your smoker?
You know, I've been jumping back and forth on two or three different things, and I hadn't found one that just completely suits me yet. I've run subs in it. I've run Kingsford Competition in it. I've run that elusive Royal Oak stuff that Chef Select that I can't get, but seems like everybody else did. So,
well, I gotta get some of Scott to get to you and see what you think about it. I've got some Ultra 100 and some Select, so hopefully I can shoot you a couple.
I actually got some Ultra 100 ordered, and I'm gonna run it. I'll probably run the Ultra 100 this week, but I've kind of, you know, the cooker we had prior to that we run charcoal in with the water pan, I really don't. You'd have a hard time telling me that charcoal made any difference whatsoever. That's not 100% true in these new cookers. I found that there's actually a big difference, and I'm kind of sold on this natural briquette, especially in the gravity feed cooker. Whether it be stubs or roll oak or cheese for competition, I don't really think it matters. On that, as long as you're using a natural briquette.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, because I believe that it works better for me when you have a little more weight to the charcoal to help, you know, with the gravity feed system itself, and, you know, you don't get the bridging action that you can out of just a regular lump. Jeff McHugh has got something called, Nature's Own, and it's all sugar maple. And it's all pretty consistent pieces. None of it's really big, but you know, I'm like you. With the Royal Oak Select, Chef Select, and the Ultra 100, you know, it's heavier, so it's denser. So to me, a shoot of that lasts longer, and you know, which usually means a more consistent cook. So,
I did notice I fired that cooker early on Friday, and you have to get somebody. I'm not going to tell you what we had for supper. You have to get somebody to tell you about it, because I really don't want to brag too much about what we fixed for supper. But we cooked that on the on that Chef Select, and I left it in there. So my cooker was running from 2 o'clock Friday afternoon till, you know, 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and I did notice it seems like Chef Select puts out a little more ash than the stubs does.
Yeah, I think it's
based
to bind it.
Based on the amount, but I mean, I ran the thing 24 hours on about, less than 30 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
It's not too bad considering the size of the chamber. You got to stay that temperature too. Yeah, because these aren't little smokers. These are, you know, these aren't backwoods. These are some big smokers. So, you know, it takes some fuel to use them. Are you using a 25 CFM fan?
I am. I'm one of the ones that just does not think it's necessary. But I've got one. I don't think it's necessary at all, because the thing never comes on full blast ever, never ever.
Yeah.
So it's just. What I know about the dynamics of fire, it's just not required.
Well, we do a lot of catering, and one thing I noticed, even in the other one, was when we put a lot of meat in there that's, you know, kind of cold, it does help the chamber get back up to temperature a whole lot quicker. And, you know, so we kind of like 25, like you said. I know once I get it going, I cut it back in half. So, you know, we're running about 12, but, you know, once I get it to temperature, you know, I cut it back and it runs fine. I mean, it does very well. But I just like to have it for the flexibility, just in cases. So, so right now you're sitting pretty high up in the KCBS points then, aren't you?
I really don't know. Were they up today? I've been busy. I don't know. I know that, you know, we've got a couple of low finishes. I'd say chicken's sitting pretty high right now. I don't know with the first. I think we've got four top fives in chicken. So I'd say it's up there somewhere. I really don't know. I hadn't seen it today.
Yeah, I tend to believe that, you know, it's doing fine. I haven't been on there. I was actually delivering a smoker from Scott at 5:30 today. So I just got back and got it unloaded at the guy's house, and he just tickled to death with it. Did an awesome job on the paint job. You know, we went, you know, I know you've got the hammer finish, but we went with the black hammer finish. And that black hammer finish just looks awesome.
Yes, sir.
He was just really pleased with it and stuff. You know, when I sold one of your old ones and I delivered it.
I'm not going to be pleased with that, Jim, after I find that out. Because he told me I was the only one that didn't have hammer finish.
You got a silver hammer finish because I sold one. I think I sold your first smoker.
Yeah.
That you had. And the boy liked it, and I told Scott, I said, I want that finish, but I want it darker. So he switched it. Instead of putting a quarter black, he put a quarter silver in it and lightened up just a little bit. And, I mean, it came out. I mean, that's a nice finish on it. If you ever get to see the – have you got a black hammered one? Or?
Yeah, but it's really more gray than this black.
Yeah. And, he has a little more – that black hammer,
it's about the color I asked for. I told him when we started this that I wanted something basic, you know, charcoal gray, just something. I really didn't want black, but I didn't want it purple either, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll paint about every color. I had a big orange one on the back of mine. I'm sure you could appreciate that.
Well, I can, and he asked me, you know, and I found out that, you know, when Mike Davis was the yoger, I told him, because he had that big orange yoger, he ruined anybody having an orange fist because they think he's copying them.
Well, this is more of an Oklahoma orange, isn't it?
Well, no, that's that yoger orange that he had was very close to a Tennessee orange.
Okay.
But that, you know, as it turns out, that's kind of the yoger's color, so. That was. It wasn't a statement either way, but it was for me, and Mike and I are very good friends, and so I was giving him a hard time. I said, well, people just think I'm copying you if I get an orange bit. So, which is all right. I mean, I don't care if people think I am copying you. He's done me won the role 6 or 8 times. I don't know. So he's not a bad guy to be copying.
That's what I was going to say. If you can copy somebody, that would be a good one to do. We'll see. Speaking of pig up there on the leaderboard up there at the American Royale. So everything's going well, I guess. You know, you've been doing pretty well this year in competitions. Like I said, you're using the Southern Q smokers from Scott, which is a good thing, and cooking very consistent and everything. And how many comps you got left to do this year? Have you figured your schedule up yet, or?
Lord, no. I don't know what I'm doing much past the end of next month. So I don't. There's something going on all the time. I think we're cooking this week. I think we're off next week, and then we'll do Huntsville, then we'll do Sam's Club in Knoxville, and then we'll do Sevierville, and then we'll do Lewisburg, and that takes us through May.
Yeah.
And then June, I know I've got Memphis, and I don't know what else.
You'll figure it out in a month when you need to start getting
it. It's out there. If you pull up and see that big white trailer, I'm there. So.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even know if I'm there. You see the trailer somewhere.
So it's kind of one of them. I don't get too excited because, you know, things can change in a hurry, and so we don't. I try not to. There's no reason why I don't put what I'm thinking about doing out there. It's just that I just never have, and. I don't care. I ain't scared nobody off by putting my name on a list somewhere, I can tell you that.
But Has Tennessee got any new contests this year? Or,
there's actually a couple. I think there's one in Woodbury, Tennessee. I think the end of September. I talked to the guy yesterday. He came by. He was in Gadsden. Came by and I met him. And they were. It's actually. And I don't know, you can call it what you want to. It was a license contest last year, and it's going to be a sanction contest this year. I really don't know what the difference is. So I don't know if it's a first-year contest or not. So
yeah.
I'm not up on board of director semantics. So.
Well, they got, from what I can remember, I think they got a new one in Chattanooga this year. Like smoking on the river or something.
And well, there's one in Cleveland, which was the first year contest last year.
Right. I know that one, but I thought they had one in Chattanooga this year.
I don't know anything about that one.
And I thought they had one somewhere.
That don't mean it ain't happening.
And I thought they had another one somewhere around Knoxville, not in Knoxville, you know, with Sam's Club. But it's like a...
They're having one in Knoxville. That's the same weekend, first weekend in May, it's the same weekend as Whistle Stop.
Oh, okay.
So there's really 3 weeks right there in a row in East Tennessee within, you know, 40, 50 miles. They've got three contests, the Knoxville contest and then the Knoxville Sam's contest and then, you know, Sevierville, which is 40 miles up the road.
Right.
So I'll be going to Whistle Stop.
Now that's a pretty nice contest over in Huntsville, isn't it?
Well, we won that contest the last 2 years, so yeah, I'm going back to Whistle Stop.
It's a damn good one. Yeah, that's one you don't really want to miss, you know.
So I could compete there the rest of my life and still be ahead money wise.
Yeah, not too many people can say that about any contest, but you know, all the people know that, you know, you're really tough to beat in Tennessee and anywhere around the borders. So, you know,
I just think figure out this Louisiana thing. I don't get what happened down there. I thought we had pretty good food both places, and the judges just didn't think so. And I was telling them, I said, I don't know that we had a 43rd place brisket in Hammond at a 50.
Ouch.
And I don't know that I've ever done that bad.
The first brisket I cooked,
I think it was 40-something out of 100 in a contest. So I don't know that we've ever done that bad in brisket.
Well, how about Mike Davis out there? Was it in Oklahoma he was doing? He got like fives and sixes on appearance.
Yeah. I'm not going
to. What, they dropped the box and flipped it over and turned it in, or judges screwed it up? I have not been beating that long, but I mean, I've never ever heard of anybody getting fives and sixes in appearance.
Well, Mike don't turn in anything that looks like five. I can tell you that.
I mean, at the least eight. I mean, you know, he's been around. He knows what they're like. I mean, he's probably got more nines than anything. And it just amazes me. I was shocked when you put that out there. And I mean, you know, some people say, I was just bitching, but you got to admit, when you get fives and sixes, something's got to be going on with the judging. Somebody doesn't know what they're looking at. That's all I can figure.
Well, and it's a combination of a couple of things. If you look, 650 won that contest.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... And I saw, you know, Barry Smith had a little problem with his chicken this weekend. Where was he? Columbus, Mississippi. And he wound up, yeah, he'd have probably won the contest had he not had a little piece of aluminum pole in his chicken. Because I think he had two-thirds and an eighth, and then a DAL in chicken because it was, you know.
Had that little piece of aluminum pole.
had a little piece of aluminum foil in it. He wound up, you know, he wound up 30 out of 31 or something, and probably, you know, if his chicken had just been scored, he'd probably won the contest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes it a little tough to swallow something like that, but you know, because especially from the competitor side, you know, everybody puts their heart and soul in these things week in and week out, and for something like that to happen.
You know, and it happens, it could happen to me next week, and
yep.
Barry's been cooking a long time, and that's just not a mistake that he makes. And, you know,
no.
And you expect that from you know, new people and things like that, but you certainly don't expect if somebody's been 5 years or more. And,
right.
But it can happen, and I can see that happen. And I don't know. I'm not going to get on the pick rules thing, but it's considered parking or foreign object or whatever it is. But have mercy if it's a piece of foil less than a millimeter it's up underneath a piece of chicken. And I don't know. Might have to take a look at that. I don't know. I mean, that's what the rule is, and we all play by them. But I'm not so sure if that's the fairest or not.
Yeah, it's unfortunate it happens, but you know, you look at the judging standpoint, they're trying to keep it as clean as possible, not knowing whose box is whose. You know, so you know, you don't know if it is a younger team that. Just trying to get, you know, noticed if it does go that way. But, you know, real and truthful, though, I don't believe anybody.
You actually deserve to win, though, in my opinion. You deserve to win the contest if you can influence a whole tent full of judges by telling them that you've got a micro speck of aluminum foil in your box under the third piece of chicken from the right. If you turn it over and inspect it close, you'll be able to see it. That'll be covered with sauce, but it's there.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
that's a little tough to swallow.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. Of course, and that's the rule, and that's what they're there for. But I just, you know, if it's obvious, that's one thing. If it's a mistake, then you know, I don't know. Maybe we just don't use good judgment sometimes. I think it's just like the state of Tennessee. When you go buy beer down in the state of Tennessee, they card everybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. Well, what they've done is taken that responsibility completely away from the people in the people that work. So
right.
you can't ask the people in the store to use good judgment. So it's kind of like the rules. You can't ask the judges to use good judgment. Well, is the box marked or is it a mistake? So, I don't know.
I don't think there's any clear answer to that. I think we'd probably go all night long and go on discussion and get several people in here to talk about that. And, you know, it's something like that is very, I mean, you hate to see it happen. It is very, very unfortunate. Like you said, if it's a millimeter of this or that, and you really have to look for it, that's a little tough to swallow. And like you said, someone's got to use some decent judgment in that.
It wasn't like he turned in 6 pounds wrapped up like a baked potato.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Or stuck a piece of parsley right on the middle of the top of each one of them, you know. We had a guy that got DQ'd up here because they said they saw a cricket leg in a brisket box. Now, in reality, really and truthfully, 1:30 in the afternoon, there's a cricket leg in a brisket box. What are the odds of that? But it was not a cricket leg. It was a splinter off the side of the brisket where he cut the edge off.
Well.
And it bent. And
I know. I grind my cricket legs up real fine and mix them with the sauce so nobody sees.
That's right. That's what I do. You know, you hear the little bastards chirping, you want to put them in there, you know? Extra protein. But, you know, it's stuff like that. I'm like, really? And, you know, and it falls back on the table casters too. Like, I mean, seriously, you think that's a cricket leg? I mean, let's get real. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just think,
we absolutely have to have rules, but we absolutely have to have judgment too.
Right, right. And, you know, they just need to, you know, get with the right official or whatever on it, you know. And
and what that cost him, that was about probably a $2,500 stack of foil in that box.
Right.
And
it
could happen to me next week. You know,
yep.
and I know that didn't happen. And,
I mean, it can happen to any of us next week, you know. People leave a little piece of napkin on there that they don't see, you know, when they pick it up. Or, you know, it's like I said, it's a very unfortunate thing. And I hate to see anybody get DQ'd. I really do. It's just, you know, it just makes it that much tough. Because, like I said, we as cookers, we know what everybody goes through. And, you know, it's not easy. It's a lot of fun, but it's not easy. It's hard work, and it takes a lot of money. And for something minuscule as that, you know, it's kind of tough to take. I mean, that's like taking a knockout on the chin. Like, what? So, but anyway. So you got the Whistle Stop coming up here pretty soon, and get to see some more of your friends and everything. We got another guy on the line. I don't know if you two have ever met. This is, I believe it's Damon Woolley from Woolley Bully Barbecue Mafia. Damon, are you there? Hello? Damon.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So, Damon, have you ever met Barry Johnson from Swig and Pig?
Actually, I did meet Barry. I met Barry out in Arkansas, actually. I think him and his dad were cooking across from us over there.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. He does Dillard also, I know. Was this your first year in Dillard?
Last year. It was my second time cooking there. I missed a year.
Okay.
2 years ago, and I missed the year before last. But.
Now, Barry, you've been there quite a few years, haven't you?
No, last year was the first year we cooked Dillard.
Was it?
Yep.
I thought you'd been there before. Oh, that may have been Jiggy Piggy that was there before. Too many pig names, I guess. So I was talking to Damon a little bit earlier. He just won the FBA, the Smoke on the Water in Thomaston, Georgia. And we're kind of remarking on a few things. Barry, I was doing a smaller competition in Somerville, South Carolina, and we had something in common. We both overcooked our pork. And even though he didn't overcook it as much as I did, my money muscle was up to 205 and 208. So I actually put them in the cooler on ice to tighten them up and make them stop cooking for about an hour and a half. And then about an hour before turning, I went out fully wrapped and put them back on the smoker to warm them back up. And out of, you know, almost 30 teams, I finished third. So I was pretty pretty lucky on that. But yeah, Damon had a little adversity over there in the Smoke and the Water. But he powered through it and got a grand championship. What kind of cook do you cook on, Damon?
I cook on a stump stretch and a FEC 100.
Now, you've been doing quite well in FBA lately, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been getting a few calls here and there. We got lucky at the first year, won one down there in Naples. And this is our second grand FBA. I think we're the first team this year to repeat. And we've had how many contests we've had this year, 13 or how many contests, and there's been a different winner every time. I mean, it just goes to show you the caliber of the cooks that are cooking nowadays. I mean, it's tough to win one. So we felt very fortunate to win Thomaston.
But yeah, you like Barry did up there in Gaston. I mean, you had a tough crowd down there in Thomaston. That's usually a really big event. Because it usually brings a lot of tough KCBS teams and FBA teams together.
Yeah, that contest has a real big turnout every year. They do a great job. If you ever get a chance to come down to North Georgia and cook FBA, that'd be one to do. Bobby Bickley and his guys up there do a great job, and he was one of the kind of the pioneers that, in my eyes, that got me going as an organizer and gave me a bunch of tips and advice when I first started putting on my contest, and they give out great trophies and just treat you good, and the payouts feel good there. And I don't know how many KCBS events up there are having good payouts, but what I'm looking at on the internet today, I was looking at some of these prize purses that some of these events pay out, and it's just, I mean, obviously, you know, it's tough as an organizer to you know, pay your bills, but, you know, we spend a pile of money to go cook these things. But if we get, you know, two or three top 10 calls, you'd at least like to get a, you know, $1,500 check or something.
Yeah, well, I know in SBA, a lot of times, you know, all of them do pay out top 10, so if you get called, you get something.
Yeah, this Thomaston was a real good payday. It was, the grand was $3,000. That's one of the highest grands I've seen around. I mean, FBA circuit, and he paid out to 10 places also.
Yeah, well, they did a good job. I've had some of my friends go and cook and stuff. I mean, they really liked it. The only bad thing for me is, I think we discussed before, you know, been catering Masters, they at least start on Sunday. So it's really tough to cook a full contest on that Saturday before and then get my butt back here and start, you know, doing the menus and stuff for these guys coming in town and getting everything set up to just start catering all week. So if we cook every day of the week, I'd like to say we should cook and just warm it back up, but, you know, they pay good money for the catering, so they're going to get fresh food, and they can go off to post them and let them in place. So it shows, I mean, they eat the hell out of it. I didn't know that. But I think we were talking also earlier, Barry, I'm trying to hook him up with some Masters tickets this year, but it just didn't work out. I did get Robbie from Rescue Smokers tickets and stuff for Mondays, but this year was really crazy year up at the Masters, and I think old Big Jim Stencil from Bare Knuckles was cooking at a hospitality house right next to where we were parked. I didn't realize he was there. I would have gone over and talked to him, but some of the police officers up at direct traffic that I see, they were telling me there's a guy over there, and they're describing him, and I said, "You talking about Jim Stencil from Bare Knuckles?" He goes, "Yep, that's it." So, Jimmy, if you're listening, sorry I missed you. I wasn't but maybe 50 yards away from you, buddy. But anyway, when's your next cook, Damon?
Thinking about going up doing Barnesville in a couple weeks. I haven't decided 100%. I'm kind of trying to look at my schedule now that we qualify for that world championship, food championships deal by winning Thomaston, and I got it in my mind now that I want to try to go out there to Vegas. And so I'm kind of looking at my leave days. You know, I teach high school, and so I'm in the same boat as Rub, and you know, our leave days are numbered, and so I got to be kind of choosy about which contest I go and do. I mean, good thing about Florida is, you know, with these FBA events, most of them are within, you know, a half-day drive, so, you know, I can leave work, you know, take off half a day from work and don't have to burn, you know, 2 days, as opposed to, you know, if I travel around some of these ones that are fall, that I got to take off a whole day, and I'm sure the Vegas trip's going to burn up at least 3, if not 4 days of lead time.
Yeah, that's a pretty long drive out there. Barry, are you qualified for World Food Championships, or did you got?
I don't know. That's something I don't know. I'm sure that probably I am. I don't know. We qualified to go to court last year. We didn't make the trek out there. It's just too far. It's 2,000 miles, and that's just a tough run to be gone and a lot of money and be perfectly honest with you, we didn't know what the rules were up until about 2 weeks before the event last year.
I know
it was hard for me to commit to something that I didn't even know what the rules were going in. And it's not something I'd rule out doing this year after they've had it once.
Right.
It's not something that I'm jumping up and down saying I can't wait to go to Vegas either. Because it's 3 days as hard as you can go if you're driving. And then, then guess what? You're halfway.
Yeah.
It's 3 days out there, 3 days back, and 2 days of competition, and $10,000 worth of food because you want to eat good. So Vegas is a funny place. You spend a whole lot of money in a hurry without even gambling. So.
Yeah, I know, Damon, you know a lot of your friends have made it out there, and I have a lot too. And I've heard good and bad, and the good and bad knows me about it. But you know, the folks come from New Orleans, you can talk to him about it, and several other people that went out there. But you know, the best thing to do is just find out what really went on out there. I know the unions had a big part in it, and it was like they couldn't do nothing without a union representative there and all this other stuff. That's a quagmire of trailers and trucks trying to eat, just get into the site. And then, you know, I've heard some good things about it, but I also heard, you know, they treat it as a barbecue like second-class citizens. So, you know, but I think now they're really helping out some of the barbecues. And now some of these events, like one coming up in Columbus, is an event where your travel and accommodations are going to be paid for. And they're going to be adding some more. That's something to look at, you know. You know, like I said, like Barry said, it's just so expensive to let them come back. You know, several people cooking all the kettles because they could buy them out there and just, you know, sell them when they got done with them. Without pulling a rib all the way out there. But, you know, I guess I'll try it out there. I'll be honest with you. The first pile of marker in Texas on 920 is 636. Which is only just looking at you, all you can travel in 10 hours. but anyway, well, I mean, at least you've qualified everything for it, and it's, you know, some people have a great time with it. They can't wait to go back. And, but anyway, but I know you coordinate a big FBA contest down in Florida. And I know it's not until probably July. And if I'm not mistaken, it's in Live Oak. Is that right?
Say again, Jim. You're breaking up there.
I said your event that you have, your big FBA event, is it in Live Oak, Florida?
Yeah. Smoke on the Swanee. It's we had a record number last year. We had 83 pro teams, and I don't know if we'll get that many this year or if we'll get more. And everybody's asking me, are you going to try and get 100? And I'm not really trying to get, you know, a certain number. We got enough room for 100 teams. And the payback, I'm going to try to do the payback this year. I haven't announced the payback, but what I want to do is essentially pay back 80 to 90% of whatever I take in. And I'd hate to say, hey, the payback can be this, and then wind up having more money to pay back. And then people say, well, I didn't sign up because he's only paying this. But anybody that's cooked it before knows I have a really good payback, and I try to structure it so it's a contest that's, you know, by cooked teams for cooked teams, you know, try to do the things that make all y'all guys happy. And a good payback is one of those.
Yeah, you've had some good. I've heard really, truthfully, nothing but good things that have been said about your event down there, and you know, a lot of it came from Brad, from Lane Smokers, and just. You know, several other teams too, but they just all reiterated, you know, what Brad was saying about how well run it was and organized, and and people can't wait to get back down there, and that's what you want to hear.
Right. Well, I've talked to several of the bigger KCBS teams trying to get them to come down and cook an FBA contest. And A lot of guys don't. They have a bad taste in their mouth about the FBA for some reason. And you know, I've talked to several, you know, guys who I really respect on the KCBS circuit that have cooked a lot and done real well, and kind of picked their brain to see if it was something that, you know, they had heard or something that, you know, they didn't like. You know, some of them had heard, you know, these horror stories about the judging, or they didn't like the way the boxes were handled and things like that. And even within the FBA, there's always people that have developed their little conspiracy theories about how boxes are handled and judging. And I heard y'all talking a while ago about, you know, some bad judging. And unfortunately, in every sanctioned body, there's, you know, usually always going to be that one dreaded table. But having been an organizer and watched the way that they handle everything from start to finish, I can't see of any way that you could possibly do anything additional to ensure the integrity of the FBA judging. And what we see, you know, cooking a lot of events down here is, you know, you'll wind up on a table that may have a newer judge that really doesn't have a clue. And what I say by that is, you know, just because they don't like the taste of something, that's never my complaint. But I can look at those score sheets, and if I see, you know, 10, 10, 10, 10 for appearance, and I see a 7 or an 8 or some score that's just way off out there, you know, that tells me right there that's probably a new judge or somebody that doesn't know. And our new president, Tony Wolf, has been doing a great job of trying to educate some of these judges on you know, what to look for, you know, and if they have a score like that, they'll actually go to the judge and say, why did you give it this? And, you know, so I would like to see a day come when some of these big KCPS teams that make the swing down to Florida in January, you know, they come down to hit Lakeland and they come hit a couple others would cook a FBA event just to see how they liked it. Obviously, they're, you know, excellent cooks. And, you know, I just want to kind of dispel any myth that may be out there that the, you know, the FBA has, I've heard all this stuff, and they pick their favorites. You can't win if you ain't president. You know, all this business I've heard, and I just think it's foolishness. I mean, if that's really why you're not cooking that contest, then, you know, that's foolish on your part. I mean, most of the guys I know that go cook various multiple circuits, they just love the barbecue. And, you know, there's certain teams that, you know, basically dominate certain circuits because they've finally, you know, they've got a knack for what the flavor profiles are to hit in that particular circuit. But, you know, you look at people like Pete Melissa Cookson, who are, you know, predominantly the end team, and yet they go and win the Kingsford deal, or they go and win a KCPS here. I mean, a good cook's a good cook. I don't think it really matters which sanctioning body it is if you can go out there and figure it out.
Yeah, I did one FBA last year, and I was telling everybody I was going to retire because I won grand down there in my first FBA, so I'm like, all right, I'm retiring. But you
yeah, I mean,
about,
so you came and cooked. Alan did well. You went up there to Perry, to the GBA, and did well. I mean, you're not out there complaining about this person or that person's got a conspiracy theory or whatever. I just kind of rub me the wrong way when I hear teams start crying that same song.
Well, what really got me was, you know, my pork started hitting last year in KCBS. And then I did a couple of SBNs towards the end of the year and won pork in those. And I'm like, okay, now it's finally hitting. Started this year, started winning pork. I took first in GBA up there at the pork in the preliminary round, not the finals, but the preliminary round. I had high school in pork. And as you know, there's some really good FBA teams there because Thomas really spanked our ass in the finals. But in the first go-around, you know, I put a lot of – to make it to the finals, you know, I put my good box in that. And so, you know, hitting that, it's been hitting an SCBA, it's been hitting an SBN, it's been hitting a GBA, and I'm itching to get back out on the KCBS circuit and start doing that. I mean, I've got several South Carolina buddies. I mean, look at Brad. You know, I cook him a lot, and he's been doing pretty well in every – you know, he does the FBA, just got third out in – Kansas and a KCBS, and so, you know, if there's a flavor profile, that would have been a big change, but it just shows that, you know, good food's going to score good no matter where you're at. And, you know, I'm a big advocate, and I don't know if Barry agrees with me or you agree with me, but with these KCBS judges, I would like to see the judge cook with a team at least after the first 5 contests they judge, and then every 10 contests after that, because I feel like we as teams and the organizers, such as yourself and the sanctioning body, the judges need to be educated as much as possible on the whole aspect of doing a competition and, you know, what they're expecting us to do. Because, you know, I really think that, you know, if you've got 5 judges that are giving you, you know, upwards of 9s and all that stuff, and you got one that gives you a 7, well, obviously either – he's just not going to score anybody high, or he's just uneducated. And
right.
trying to do the level playing field. And unlike a lot of people, I'm a big fan of comic cards, because if I got something that's not hitting, you know, and you start taking comic cards over the last five or six, well, hell, the common thing was, well, it was maybe a little too salty. So they try to back off on it, you know. We as cooks are trying to give the judges the best product we can, but we, you know, we're not mind readers, you know. What may be hitting this month may not be hitting next month. So, you know, it's good to get a little feedback. I mean, do y'all agree with that about the judging, or?
I do. I mean, I like your, I mean, the comment deal is, I mean, I think they should, if they give you a score that's just way down there, they ought to be able to, you know, hey, why did you think that? If you don't know, then why are you giving it? But, you know, let me clarify, going back to talking about the judging and, you know, and I wasn't trying to knock on any judges, but if, you know, we've all done this long enough now to know that if you do it enough, you're going to hit a bad table. And so instead of sitting around and griping to everybody about how you got screwed over because you hit the bad table, just take it and move on, because I've never heard anybody complain about those stupid judges gave me a perfect score. Well, that stuff was overcooked. They gave me a perfect, and they don't complain about that. The flag flies both ways, and like I told you, you know, we got lucky and hit the right tables in Thomaston. You know, obviously, you got to have a good cook, but sometimes you might have the best cook of your life and hit all the wrong tables. It's just part of the game, I think. But I'm with you. We need to have something that gets some feedback. Which, you know, FDA does that, KCBS does that. It's always good to have feedback, positive or negative.
I think the big argument there, guys, is when we talk about hitting bad tables, everybody talks about hitting bad tables. And my argument to that is, why is there bad tables? Okay? And I don't know whether that's training or just the way the people are. Certainly you're going to have one or two there that they're going to say, well, I'm not giving above seven. I don't give a damn how well you did, you know? So, but I think that goes back to education, and they're not getting it. I know from a KCBS, you know, perspective, I mean, you sit through a five-hour judging class and four of it is how to disqualify somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm being serious. Nobody can argue with that. They're not trying to tell them how to judge it. And you know, it's like the brisket thing. They're talking about them bouncing it on their finger and pulling on it and carrying on. Put a damn bite in your mouth and see if it's tender. And if it is, score it accordingly.
Exactly.
You know, I don't get it sometimes as to what they're trying to do. And I think some of these people, it's non-education of these people, or it's over-education to a certain extent, because you've got judges out there that think they know everything, and they know what the world's best barbecue tastes like, and if yours don't taste like that, then you're going to get a bad score no matter what.
Well, a lot of those, too, are teams that judge and cook, and in my opinion, you know, as y'all know, you know, a lot of people do your boxes the same, and, you know, some are real similar and stuff, but, you know, if you find something that works for you and looks really good, I mean, you know, in a way that could be glorified shigging. But the other thing is, you know, like what you just said, you know, my pork I think is the best, even though I haven't been scoring good, but this is to this or this is to that. That may be what's hitting at the moment to all these other judges, and they're going to score it down because it doesn't taste as good as theirs. But the thing I wanted to stress is, I believe if you judge, then you ought to have to take 2 months off before you can compete, in my opinion. You know, there's enough judges out there to where, you know, in certain circumstances, I'll put it that way, but there's enough judges out there. There's a lot of judges that are becoming new, and they can't get any contests because they're all booked up from these other judges, and a lot of them are teams. And, you know, that's my opinion. And it's not opinion of anybody else, that's fine, but I just think that, you know, they need to you know, tone back on how many teams are judging out there and, you know, doing what they do.
Not well,
probably get blasted by it, but, you know.
I've never cooked an FBA event, and I'm not familiar with how they do things, but the way I understand how they do things is when you get the scorecards, you can actually see the how the judges scored on each table.
Yeah.
You can actually see that number. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a number at the that you can you gotta not do it, but it's you can tell which if the number starts the same that goes to the same table, and you can that's one way to figure out what table you were on as far as knowing if you hit a bad table or not. But
you know that goes back to saying well there really shouldn't be. With the correct education, whether it's FBA or MBN or KCBS, it really doesn't make any difference what section anybody you're talking about. If the judges are getting the correct education on what to look for, then there really shouldn't be any bad tables. There
correct.
Shouldn't be a table that's 2 or 3 points off of everybody else.
Exactly.
Well, there's just one judge at that table or two judges at that table, and what the reps usually do is they will actually, when they're seating judges at that morning, they don't try to put, you know, all master judges on one table, or they can try to put somebody that's all, you know, we got six judges and y'all haven't judged six contests between the six of y'all. They'll try to intersperse people at different tables so you have a good mixture all the way across, so nobody hits that quote-unquote bad table. And for the most part, our scoring this year and at all these FBA events I've cooked has been pretty good. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, a judge here or there that dings you. And like I said, I can usually tell about that judge just based on appearance scores. I'm not saying I got the prettiest box in the world, but I've been doing this a long time enough to know if my box deserves – you know, a 9 at the least. And when you got, you know, all 10s and then some judge hits you with a 7.5 or a 8 on appearance, you're like, all right, well, if they're that far off on this appearance, I mean, I want to take it to them and say, well, since this is a 7 or a 8, tell me what your idea of a 10 would be.
Yeah,
I'm not,
show me.
Right. Please tell me so I can make a correction. But, you know, it's just, I don't get hung up anymore. You see, actually, you hear most of the newer teams complain the most about it. And, you know, it hurts your feelings or, you know, whatever. But we all know that if you do it long enough, it's going to happen, you know.
It happens to all of us. Like Barry said, he hit the nail on the head with it. You know, it's more education than anything. And, you know, with the sanctioning bodies, you know, as you know, we'll all work with the sanctioning body on educating the judges. And, you know, you don't want to get them stuck in one certain flavor profile or whatever. They all have to use this sauce or use this rub or whatever. I mean, but, you know, the whole thing, like I said, the main thing is like on appearance, you know. How can you get so bad an appearance when these other ones are so high? And you're like, you put the rib, just for example, you put the rib in there, and I mean, they just look like one solid rib bone in there, weighs nicely, just perfect, and then someone gives you an 8. What more can I do to make that either a 9 in KCBS or a 10 in FBA? I mean, what do I have to do to get that? I mean, show me, if you give me that, then you know what a 10 looks like, so you do it and let me see what your 10 looks like. You know? That's what I'm getting at. And I think
yeah, man, I gotta run, brother. I've got family.
Okay,
team.
Buddy.
All right, well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and best of luck to everybody.
All right, same to you, Baron. Good luck this weekend, buddy.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Thanks for being on the show. So, you know, like I said, I don't know. So in FBA, do they do like a cook and show people what the boxes are, kind of like KCBS, or how do they do their judging?
We've actually got a master judge. I don't know if you've ever met Marty Hyde, but he's judged in about every, you know, FBA event that's I've been to. He's at, you know, KCBS. He's MBN certified. He's probably one of the best judges I know as far as being meticulous in detail. He's actually our new treasurer for the FBA, but he's got a nice little slideshow he put together, like a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
He's been doing some judges trainings and some refresher courses. And what we'll do, like if you have a judges seminar, is, you know, we'll get one to cook teams, like I helped cook last year at Thomaston, and we do one at my, and we'll try to make sure we let them at least taste three, if not all four categories. And that way, and what we do is we'll actually build some boxes, you know, that are, you know, just kind of throwed in there. We'll build some boxes that, you know, are kind of creative. We'll build a box that looks really nice. We'll take and put something in there, you know, obviously a Q-tip or some foil. That way they see something and everything. And then as they're doing the training, they get their scores. And then the person from the training can go and say, okay, why did you give that score? What did you see? What are you looking for? And, you know, obviously with appearance, it's all subjective. And, you know, does it look good? Does it look appetizing? Yada, yada, yada. But there's some categories you can get really creative and make something look really nice. And there's some categories that there ain't but so many things you can do. I mean, and I used to read some of those comments and stuff on Barbecue Resin or on that Barbecue Critic, and I just kind of chuckle because people, some of the comments they make, I'm like, it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, they don't spend a lot of time. We don't sit there and try to beat a dead horse about appearance. Obviously, in FBA, appearance counts the least of your scores, but that should be a gimme. That should be one that you need to nail. No matter if your stuff just tastes awful, you should be able to nail appearance every time.
Right.
And, you know, I have actually seen quite a few pictures of newer teams, and these guys are building some awesome boxes. I mean, just beautiful boxes. And, you know, For whatever reason, I saved the pictures from my very first contest. It was a backyard event. And at that time, I thought my boxes were freaking just jam up, you know. And I found those pictures on my computer about a month or two ago, and I just started busting out laughing because, you know, 4 years, 3 years later, here I am. I'm like, I can't believe I thought that looked good. And so
yeah.
That's what, you know,
what
a lot
hell
of these
was
teams,
I thinking?
Yeah, then all these new teams, they, I mean, if they haven't been educated, they might think their stuff actually looks good. And,
right.
And they might, I don't know. The funniest story I can tell you about appearance, I was at a contest at Star. It's been about 2 years ago. And I had just built just a beautiful pork box. And I went to turn to leave the trailer, and the cambro door swung open. And I hit that cambro door, and my pork box literally splattered and stuck to the wall of my trailer. And I had about a minute to make a turn in. And so I set the box down and looked at it, and it looked like you just took a big couple handfuls of pork and threw it right in the middle of that box. And I got all perfect presentation scores that day. And I still laugh about it because of all the times I've gotten dinged on presentations that it looked great, you know, there's that one time where I have a crappy looking box and it gets perfect 10. So,
right.
How about deserve
just,
that?
Shake your
right.
head. You know, what do you say?
Well, like you said before, though, if you do it long enough, you kind of know what you kind of deserve.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people are pretty honest. You know, I had a decent cook. You know, this wasn't there. It's up to the judges if they found the chicken, like Don from George Boys. He said, I had a good cook when my chicken was dry.
And he said, well, I'll just have to see how he said, I overcooked it. I know I did. I'll just have to see. You know, I'm at the mercy of the judges. He said, I just hope I can be in the top, you know, 20 or whatever. Maybe everybody else cooked some bad stuff. And he ended up, like, I don't know, 35th. And he said, yeah, well, it was justifiable. He said, I was friends with something more, but he said, you know, it was dry. I knew it was dry. And, but he also knew, you know, his pork was good and his brisket was good and all that stuff. And, yeah, I tell everybody, I said, you know, I've had a perfect score on brisket this past year, and I've had several 179s, and I got a 173 or 174 up there at Van Jovic this past year, and it was 11th. And I still tell everybody that's the best brisket I've ever cooked. So, you know, to me. But, like I said, it goes either way, and you're going to have to deal with it. And you get so many people that just get so down on this because they're like, man, I just don't know what else I can do. I said, well, you just got to keep plugging along, you know? And they just get so upset over some of the judging, and I'm like, you know, get upset about it, get over it, and move on.
Yeah.
You know, but you got some people that just, you know, I'm not doing any more competition this year because I just got blasted. What? I mean, please, if you're going to do this, you got to have a thick skull. I mean, you got to have thick skin. I mean, you got to learn to take your lumps and move on. And,
that's right.
You know, the people that do good and are consistently out there, such as yourself, you know,
you don't expect it, you don't want to see it, but if you did get one, you know, yeah, you can get, there ain't no reason not to get upset, but don't let it just hamper your whole rest of the year or whatever. You know, get back up on that horse and go again. And, you know, but, you know, you've been a really tough competitor, and you know, I think that, in my opinion, you know, the reason why I don't do more FBAs is because some KCBS coming along the same time as the FBAs, and
right.
It's for me to pass something that's an hour and a half away to go 5 hours away. And
yeah, I agree 100%.
Not to say I won't do it, just because, you know, there's some events out there that I really want to do. And I got a chance to go to the one in North Carolina, same region that yours is going to happen. And I'm like, you know, I still hadn't entered either one of them. And I told myself last year, I said I was really going to try to make it down to yours this year. And then this new one popped up in North Carolina. I'm like, damn, what can it be the weekend before or the weekend after? You know, it's just like Robbie. I had a big one in Columbia, the same region as the Fire Ant Festival. And I've been wanting to go down there and do that. And not that I win anything, but, you know, Dale makes those awesome trophies, and, you know, I'd like to get a couple more of them. And, you know, I couldn't make it that, but Robbie did tell me they were going to move it a week ahead of what it was this year. And I'm thinking, well, with my luck, they're moving one in Columbia a week ahead. So, I mean, that's how I'm serious, man. That's how it goes with me. It's just, you know, one I took grand in last year is going to be the same weekend as the Sam's Regionals if I make it to the Regionals. So, what do I do? You know, I won $3,000 at that one.
Right.
So,
well,
you know,
obviously, I'm not referring to people, situations like that. I mean, I'm all about not passing up something that, you know. Matter of fact, it was in Dillard where I had the conversation with a couple of well-known KCBS teams, and they came at me with that nonsense about, you know, it was rigged and this, that, and other, and you know, they had heard this, and I said, well, you know, I'm sitting here telling you, I've seen what goes on. But, you know, I wasn't trying to make a case for the FBA or by any means beg them to come cook it. I just asked them why they wouldn't, and they went off with that, and I was like, okay, well, I don't know where that came from. But consequently, a couple of them don't even cook many KCBS anymore. And,
yeah.
You know.
I think I know one of them you're talking about.
You know, obviously, the FBA has received a share of criticism, as every other sanctioned body, I'm sure, received criticism. But there's a bunch of great guys that have been cook teams that are working to try to make it better and you know, make it one of the top sanctioned bodies out there in the country. And, you know, I can tell you this, I mean, KCBS got a lot of great cook teams and you know, MBN has a lot of great cook teams. But what's funny about the last few FBA events I've been to, you literally pull up and look around, and there's 14, 15 teams that could win. We were having this discussion the other day, Rub and Bub and I. When I first started a couple years ago, you could pull up, and there might be 3 teams that could win.
Exactly.
So the level of competition has just gotten, you know, crazy good. And so, you know, you've got to have a really good cook, you know, kind of be halfway lucky, hit a right table here and there, and you know, it's tough cooks down here, but there's tough cooks everywhere. And I talked to Dana, my buddy Dana Hillis, we were talking. I said, you know what, if we had all the time in the world and money, I'd love we'd just pack up and drive across the United States and cook a contest in every sanctioned body.
Every state. I mean, seriously, though, I mean, and I'll say this, you know, South Carolina's got some really good pork teams. That's all they cook is pork. But Florida, as far as pound for pound, has got some of the best teams in the country when it comes to four meat. I know because I compete against you. I compete against you in the FBI. I compete against y'all in KCBS. And the flavor profiles do change over from one sanctioning body to the other. And I'm telling people right now, I have done 5 sanctioning bodies, and I've won a grand in 3 out of the 5, and I've come in the reserve grand in the other 2 out of the 5. So, and I have not changed my flavor profile at all.
Right.
Rod Gray, you know, my mentor, Rod Gray, said, you know, don't change your flavor profiles. If it's good, it's going to go across borders and boundaries, and, you know, you just cook it, you know, to where it's good, and you'll get scored accordingly. You may have one bad thing here or there, but, you know, just keep on cooking it the same way. and don't change nothing and see where you end up at. He said consistency is what pays off. And you know that as far as anybody, you know, you still have to be first in every category and win a contest. And, you know, you have to get four top 10 calls. A lot of these contests you do, but, you know, consistency is the key. And, you know, that's what we and Barry are talking about, these gravity-fed smokers. They give you that level, you know, that, you know, kind of like your pellet smokers and stuff, these insulated cookers. They give you that level of confidence, but not only that, they turn out consistent food. And, and you know, the judging, I believe, you know, case, it seems like to me that every sanctioning body is really making strides towards educating the judges and to get a more consistent judging format in for these contests. And, you know, it's, like I said, I've cooked SBAs, and, I mean, I did not see anything wrong. I know a couple people that cooked them didn't do very well, and they, you know, kind of shun y'all and said, I'll never do one again. But you don't need that attitude, because if you have that attitude, sooner or later you're going to have that in every sanctioning body. You're not going to be cooking anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, the flavor profile changed, I think, around the regions. You know, I've always referred to, you know, I've referred to as an Iowa flavor profile, because a lot of those teams up there in Iowa that do real good, you know, I've tasted their food, and it tastes a little bit different than mine. It's not resounding. You know, it's not like it's – and I think a lot of newer teams, I've had people come and ask, hey, what do I need to do? What do I need to put on this? They kind of get carried away, get over the top on some of their stuff. And what I've found is the best way to do well is to try to be consistent with your texture, your tenderness. And don't go crazy with a flavor profile. Have something that's just,
right.
You know, Melissa Cookson told me, you want good average barbecue. I mean, that's essentially what you, I mean, you don't want anybody having any kind of little thing. Hey, I taste this. Hey, I taste that. Because chances are, if they taste something that, you know, rings a little bell in their head, they're gonna ring a little bell on your score sheet.
That's it. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, like you said, a lot of people want to oversauce stuff. You know, the judges, in my opinion, I've actually backed off on mine. The judges, in my opinion, are looking forward towards the heat taste of it. You know, with the attention on the flavor as far as being a subtle, you know, a subtle flavor profile, not overpowering. But they want to taste the meat first. So, you know, I've gone along with that philosophy. So far, I've been doing pretty well in the last few contests. But like I said, we start KCBS this weekend, and, we'll see if I get knocked off the horse, or, you know, if I'm still riding after the awards.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I would love to see GBA drop the finals and drop the Lauren and add, you know, be more towards the FBA side, because I think that would mesh a lot more teams together. And a lot of teams that are things like on KCBS with garnish and stuff, it gives good cooks, you know, kind of practice for that, get the boxes down, and hell, even for the seasoned veteran, you know, it gives you another avenue of cooking. Like if you got a family, you know, everything's just so far away from 3 or 4 weeks, but then you got a GBA right here that does the same meat. You know, they could pull in a lot more teams if they did that. And you know, FBA's done it right, I believe. You know, it's just, like I said, it's just far for me to go down and do them, and I really wish FBA would come up this way and, you know, do a few contests, because I'd like to see some more South Carolina teams doing some FBAs.
We actually talked about that. We were talking about getting some contests sanctioned, you know, farther up north, if we could just, but the thing is, they were, you know, most everybody we talked to up there that not organized ones is afraid they won't get any teams because, you know, you have predominantly KCBS teams up that way, and so, you know, it's, that's one of the deals, you know, that it's tough. I want to come up there and cook one of those South Carolina events. Brad's been telling me about them. He said I'd really like them. So, I mean, I'd love to come up there and do one.
Yeah, Brad, he's a trip. he told me the last SBA contest we did, I got 30 beat me by like 2/100ths of a point pork. And he told me beforehand, he said, I just want to beat you in pork one time this year. He said, you've done nothing but spank my ass. And he said, I just want to beat you in pork one time this year. I don't care where it's at, but I want to beat you. So he beat me up there. I said, okay, you beat me. Now it's on. I said, put your Big Ford pants on, so we're going at it now. And he just started laughing. But now Brad's been cooking SBA for a while, but don't let me fool you. He can cook some damn pork and ribs now. He might go through some rough patches, but he just looks at me because I'll sweep a contest or something like that. I mean, I did one up in Union that I won a lot, and I think I took first in pork, first in People's Choice, second in Chicken Grand Champion. And he just calls me out, "What the hell did you just? What the hell happened? What train just hit me?" He's like, "What? I can't even comprehend what you just did." He said, "There's almost 40 teams up there, and you took all that." He said, "Between you and Wayland, you took over like three quarters of the 5-1, and the only other Georgia team up there." We took Grand Reserve Grand. And he's like, "I just can't believe that." Then down here in Augusta, I took first and fourth, first and ribs. Actually, the guy that works for me, Tanner, he was in the backyard, and I gave him a little class on Wednesday, and he took first and first ribs in the backyard. Between me and him, we took three quarters of the 5-1. And then Ed Brad again. "You did it again. What the hell?" I mean, he's just. He's like, "Are you having a class?" I went, "No." He goes, "Well, I want to take it." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you just gave Tanner a class." He said, "I'm just going to start hanging out up at your shop." And he said, "Hone in on what you're doing." I said, "You get me sooner or later." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "You put out a good product." He cracks me up. But I'm glad to see he did good out in Kansas, though. You know, that could have been a flavor profile change out there, but I know he's been cooking good lately, and that just goes to show you, it works everywhere. I know Brad cooks some good barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's had his really good days. He won a KCBS, went down and won an SBA back-to-back. So, he gets in his groove, and he's hard to beat, as you know. And I think a lot of you guys are, but, you're going back too about the judge and stuff. Like you just said, you were the first repeat winner this year out of 13 contests. That just shows you the quality of cooks down in Florida, because I know when you come up to a KCBS at the Fans Club and stuff, I mean, I think, what, Florida teams took 5 out of 10 spots that they had up in Hendersonville. So, I like Florida because they don't have garnish, but then again, I like garnish, so I would go either way. Hopkins has had this big block in their brain, like, "God, you just can't stand doing the garnish, just can't stand this." Yeah, that's fine. I've developed me a way. It takes me 5 minutes to a pop. And out of those 24 nines in appearance, I guarantee I have at least 18 or 20.
I'm not a fan of the garnish for KCBS or anyone, reason for that matter, because I've always heard, people say, "Oh, it's a meat contest. You don't need garnish." And obviously, when you're in Rome, you got to do like the Romans do. And, I've tried it both ways. And I haven't really noticed being scored down for not using garnish in a KCBS. And I think, it'd be better for the judges. Hell, they're going to get more meat to take with them or more meat to sample. And they ain't got to worry about picking salad off the food before they eat it. But,
parsley could change the flavor of the meat.
Well, also, I'll tell you a story, and I don't, he might not want me to repeat this, but, and I, matter of fact, I won't even tell you the team, but I'll tell you that there was a team that's a really good team and took the KCBS event, one of the, championship events, and they finished really poorly in almost all the categories. And I said, "Man, what happened?" He says, "Man, we had a good cook, everything was spot on." They had gotten some parsley from a restaurant there because it was hard to find it. Bought a case of it, and they said when they opened up the boxes that morning, it stunk. I mean, they said it smelled like fish or something. And he said it was his fault. He should have took it and just dumped it out and went with no garnish. But he thinks what happened was whatever smell or taste that was on that parsley got into his foods and made it taste different.
But if you ever smell parsley, it's got a distinct flavor. And, your meat's sitting in there, between 15 and 25 minutes, from start to finish. And, they get down on the bottom, and, some parts are a little stronger than others. I mean, it can actually change a little bit of the flavor of the meat. And, that's why they have cilantro as another alternate. I have no idea, because he's talking about changing the flavor of meat. Good Lord.
not a Mexican standoff. You know, it's like you said, it's a meat category. And I go either way on the garnish. You know, Texas has been around for so long, and that's what they've always done, like you said. You know, but you know, most other things you find, they don't apply it. And you know, I go either way. I've got my mindset on how to build, you know, FBA boxes and how I do you know, KCS boxes. And you know, I think that KCS boxes look prettier as far as, you know, yes, greenery in it and stuff, but you know, the FBA boxes look really good and really nice, but they're full of meat, like you said, meat contest, and you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. So I'm kinda on the fence. But it's I guess it's just something a little different. I can deal with that a lot better than I can deal with preliminary rounds and finals and all that stuff. It just,
right,
that just killed me. And you know, I will probably do another GBA, but I would really like to see them change their format a little bit. And you know, as well as I do, and you do the same thing. I'm doing the show to help promote barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I like to see different sanctioning bodies grow. Because in reality, I mean, this thing is just freaking mushrooming into something really big. And it can be good for a lot of teams, you know, because you start getting some big-time sponsors and all that stuff and get your name out there. And, you know, nothing but good can come of it if this thing keeps going the way it is. And, you know, but, you know, there's a couple little things that, in my opinion and several other people's opinions, that if it changed, it really helped. I'm not going to say lower-tier sanctioning bodies, but you know, y'all are kind of Georgia, Florida, Alabama type area. But, you know, KCBS is almost like worldwide. So,
right.
You know, I guess KCBS would be considered a granddaddy. But, you know, the fathers and sons of these barbecue competitions, you know, that the best way to see them grow is to get more people competing, get bigger prize purses, and, you know, when your prize money and your teams and everything are just stagnant, you know, my opinion is it's kind of time to make a change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though in the beginning you didn't really want to go that way, but, you know, that's the way people are wanting it to go, and I guess the Barbecue Society is leaning that way. I mean, why not just go with the flow? I mean, just, you know, our main thing is to raise money for these charities, you know, which 99% of these competitions are for. They're for promoting the little towns and stuff that they're in, the local businesses. And, you know, all you're doing is you're hurting them. Because
yep.
Teams don't like the format, they're not going to come compete. And, you know, so you got to kind of, you know, this goes for any organizer or whatever or sanctioning body. It's not necessarily what you like, it's what would work best for the communities.
Right.
And you know, you're doing a great job with what you got. I mean, you've got some really good sponsors. You got a really good site. I mean, you've got a lot of things working in your favor. And a lot of these other towns, you know, they're looking for fundraisers that just don't have the means. I mean, this is a good way of doing it. You don't have to start off big, you know, but, you know, there's several people that work with you, several 16 bodies that'll work with you. And, you know, like I said, I'd like to see it in a lot of little towns. I like to see people do these one or two meat contests and blossom into, you know, three or four meat contests, you know. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're competing KCBS. And, you know, it gives them a chance to get their feet wet without spending a whole lot of money and to try to see what it is like to compete. And, you know, if they get that one call, though, you know, they're hooked for life. So.
Oh, yeah.
We all are.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well, Damon, it was really good to have you on the show.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
On your contest again, Smoking on the Suwannee, which is, what weekend is it this year?
It's July 27th, 28th.
And you had 83 teams down there, and there were KCBS teams, GBA teams, FBA teams. There's even a couple of South Carolina teams down there. I mean, it's a really good event, and I know y'all had a really good time down there. And I know one thing with the FBA, well, for the most part, a lot of y'all do stay around on Saturday night and kind of hang out, don't you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like a second family, you know, and that's the only time you get to see them sometimes at the contest. So, you know, we have a kind of a tradition with FBA. If you win grand, you got to buy a pizza for those who stick around on Saturday night. If you skip out on the pizza, it's bad luck.
That's right.
So,
well, you know, when Bubba won grand up there in Hendersonville, we were following him back. We had was it Gabe? Do you know Gabe? I'm trying to think what his name of his team was. Anyway, he's an older fella. We were following him, and he was following Bubba. And Bubba won grand up there, and Donna made a remark, well, you know, if you win grand, you got to buy dinner. So Bubba said, well, if I buy dinner, I'm picking, and we're going to Cracker Barrel. So, but he bought dinner. So it was fun to, you know, for that and everything. And, you know, I'm wholeheartedly, you know, if we leave a contest, you know, we got a couple of teams, and I'll say, all right, look, I'll buy dinner. What are we going to stop at, you know? I mean, it's really fun when you do that because you kind of sharing your glory and stuff. And but, yeah, that's a pretty cool thing about buying pizza. That's a good thing to have. So, but they don't have to buy the beer, though, do they?
No.
So, but anyway, well, Damon, like I said, it's great to have you on here, and I'll get you a couple little special presents over there to Charleston next time I see you. And I know you like them.
Sure.
But anyways, any shout outs? You got any sponsors? Anybody you want to shout out to? Or
yeah, I mean, I'd like to thank Oak Ridge Barbecue. I've been with them. This is going on my second year. They're one of my sponsors. Great quality product. And also Baxter's Original Wood. I started using his stuff. I guess it's been around October, November, something like that. And So, I mean, $2,000 in less than 6 months using this wood. So nothing but good things to say about the premium service you get from those guys. If you're looking for, you know, wood chips or wood logs, give Mike Baxter a call and he'll take care of you.
Okay, buddy. Well, good luck in your next event and everything, and safe travels, and yeah, we'll see you on the barbecue trail, buddy.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care, Damon. We'll talk to you later.
You too.
All right, so that was Damon Woolley from Woolley Buddy Barbecue Mafia, a great FBA team. Like I said, I've cooked several different sanctioning bodies, and really need to start. I'm a firm believer that if you start cooking in some of these other sanctioning bodies, it's going to up your game because you might pick up something that some other judges are looking for and could help you score and everything. So, like I said, don't hesitate. Help another sanctioning body out. Go compete, and you never know. They come with the grand. So this is Jim with Killer Bees. I want to thank Royal Oak for being one of my sponsors. I'd like to thank Southern Q Smokers, especially Big Daddy's Bar and Grill here in Evans, Georgia. Bo Handy's been taking really good care of me. And I'd like to thank Phoenix Printing, Butcher Product, Butcher Barbecue. David, great guy. When you call and order stuff, you actually talk to him. And if I didn't say this before, Jeff WikiQ, Jeff Campbell has got great products. You need to check them out. And, you know, he's really upped our game. So, this is Jim Bird from Killer Bees Barbecue and Barbecue Superstars. We'll talk to y'all next Monday night. Y'all have a good week.